بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in the pre-khutbah that we delivered on the 14th of February this year, we spoke of the outbreak of the new coronavirus, COVID-19, and some statistics of the virus were shared with the audience on that occasion. It's now 1 month later. When we spoke of the coronavirus, when we first experienced the outbreak, then that time, about a month ago, 50,000 people were infected globally. Approximately 1,500 people had died, and the virus had spread to over 20 countries worldwide. 1 month later, and we find that the situation has rapidly deteriorated. As of yesterday, the statistics are as follows. 135,000 people have contracted the disease globally. Approximately 5,000 people have lost their lives. The virus is now affecting 125 countries around the world. And in South Africa, we have 17 confirmed cases of the virus. Now, when we look at our history in South Africa, this is not the first outbreak of an epidemic in our country. In 1715, around 1713, 1714, 1715, there was an outbreak of smallpox that occurred in South Africa. And that disease and that epidemic also appeared in our country via Europe. We find that those confirmed cases in our country, many of them have contracted the disease after traveling to European countries. And when we look at the first outbreak of an epidemic here in South Africa, which was in the form of smallpox, we find that it also reached the shores of South Africa via Europe after a ship had docked at Cape Town, and the ship was carrying infected laundry ashore, and that laundry was washed in one of the rivers offshore, and the water became contaminated. And the indigenous Khoisan people, they suffered the most, and whole clans of the indigenous Khoisan people were wiped out by the outbreak of this disease, the smallpox disease. And this was in the year 1715, 1713, around that time. Now, previously when we discussed and we spoke about the coronavirus, the outbreak, and how we should view it from an Islamic point of view, we briefly made reference to the first plague that affected the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Briefly, we touched on the plague of Amwas. In today's pre-khutbah, I would like to discuss the first plague that occurred in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in more detail, and let us draw lessons from that outbreak, and let us see how the early Muslims, many Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'een and the tabi'een, how they had reacted and how they had responded to this type of an outbreak that wiped out hundreds of Sahaba and that killed thousands of tabi'een radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesized that outbreak, and he prophesized the plague known as the plague of Amwas. Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, who said, أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة تبوك وهو في قبة من أدم. He says it was the expedition of Tabuk. The expedition of Tabuk was the large. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marched northwards towards Tabuk in order to confront the Byzantine invasion. However, no battle took place, no war was fought, but during that time, as they had left, and while they were there in Tabuk, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated in his leather tent. Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, I came, I visited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prophesied six signs of the day of Qiyamah. And he said to me, O Auf, u'udud sittan bayna yaday sa'ah. Count six signs. Six signs that my ummah will experience and six signs that they will witness before the arrival of the final hour, before the day of Qiyamah. And he says the first sign is mawti, my death. My death is the first sign of Qiyamah. Number two, he says, ثُمَّ فَتْحُ بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ. And then the conquest of Jerusalem. And the conquest of Jerusalem did not take place much longer after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you had the first sign of Qiyamah was the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approximately 3 years later in 15 AH. 15 years after Hijrah, 3 years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Muslims conquered Baytul Maqdis. They conquered the land of Jerusalem, the land of Palestine. The third sign, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied the plague that will strike the Ummah in the very early stages of the Ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثُمَّ مُوتَان يَأْخُذُ فِيكُمْ كَقُعَاسِ الْغَنَمِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the third sign of Qiyamah, O Auf bin Malik, is two mortal plagues. There will be two mortal plagues that will take you, it will take you in great numbers as the plague of sheep. When a plague, there's an outbreak of a plague in sheep, you find that it completely wipes the sheep out. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that plague that will strike my ummah will be of such a nature. It will wipe out the ummah and it will wipe out the early Muslims. Now the location of that plague prophesied by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a little town, a little village by the name of Amwas. Amwas was a Palestinian village and it was located approximately 26 kilometers from Jerusalem, this little village, this little town known as Amwas. And that is where the outbreak first occurred, in this little village of Amwas, in the land of Sham, in the land of Palestine. Hence, it is referred to as the plague of Amwas. The plague occurred in the year 639 AD and 18 AH, right? So in the 18th year of Hijrah. So that's approximately 7 years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sahaba are witnessing the signs of Qiyamah taking place so soon. The demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then 3 years later they witness the Fath of Al-Quds, the conquest of Jerusalem, and in a short period of time, 5 years later, or 3 years later in fact, they witness and they are experiencing the first plague that had struck the Ummah, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prophesied and which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had referred to as a sign of Qiyamah. Now, the plague that took place and that occurred happened during the Khilafah, the rule of Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was based in Madinah al-Munawwarah. And this plague broke out in the land of Palestine. Now, this was not the first plague to strike that region. 90 years before that, there was the plague which is known as the Justinian plague, which wiped out almost a quarter of human population. 25 million people died as a result of that plague, and that happened about 90 years before the plague of Amwas. And the main people who suffered as a result of that plague, the Justinian plague, was the Byzantine Empire. The plague of Amwas was not as significant in terms of the amount of casualties, right? Because in the plague of Amwas, between 25,000 and 30,000 people lost their lives. So in terms of numbers, it was not as significant as the Justinian plague, but it was significant or greater than that plague in terms of who lost their lives. 25,000, but those 25,000 were the best of this ummah. You had hundreds of sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala majma'in, and you had many, many of the tabi'een, the very first Muslims of this ummah, who had lost their lives during the plague of Amwas. So we find that this plague, the plague of Amwas, it wiped out a large chunk of the early Muslims of our ummah. Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was in Madinah Munawwarah. And he heard of the plague. So he decided to make his way over to the land of Sham. He felt that he should travel to Sham, to that region where there was the outbreak of the plague. And he wanted to inspect the condition of the Muslims. Now this was Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's second trip that he had undertaken towards the land of Sham. When he first went to the land of Sham, it was in 15 AH, in the 15th year of Hijrah. And when he went on that occasion, he entered as the conqueror of Baytul Maqdis, the conqueror of the land of Palestine. And now he wants to go for a second time, 2 years later. 2 or 3 years later, he wants to go back there, but now the reason is to inspect the situation and the condition of the Muslims who have been affected by the outbreak of the plague in that region. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a man who, if people were suffering, he wanted to suffer with them. That was Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In fact, he would say, كَيْفَ يَعْنِينِ شَأْنُ الرَّعِيَّةِ إِذَا لَمْ يَمُسَّنِي مَا مَسَّهُمْ. How can I claim to be the leader of a flock and I am not afflicted with what they are afflicted? That is the famous statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once there was a drought in Madinah to Munawwara. And as a result of the drought, many people were suffering from starvation. They had no food to eat. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu refused to eat anything. He refused to eat anything. He says, if people have nothing to eat, how can I, the leader of the believers, have something to eat? So he wanted to experience the plague firsthand. He heard of the sufferings in that region, and he decided to undertake the journey to Amwas. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is traveling, and he has with him a large contingent of great, great eminent sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'een, and he's about to enter the plague-ridden, the plague-stricken region. The commander of the Muslim forces, none other than Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes out from the plague-stricken region to receive Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Umar does not enter the region. When he meets the commander of the Muslims in that part of the world, Umar radiallahu ta'ala asks Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah that what is the situation? What is the situation and how are the people dealing with the outbreak of this virus, the outbreak of the plague? So Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, he tells Umar ibn Khattab that we are falling like sheep. He uses the same expression that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used when he had prophesied that plague. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ya'khudhu fikum kaqu'as al-ghanam." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "A plague will affect my ummah and it will wipe them out like how the disease wipes out a flock of sheep." So he says, "Oh Umar, this is the situation." So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gathered the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And he consulted with them regarding his next step. What should the next step be? Do we enter this region? Or do we return back to Madinah to Munawwara? So there were few discussions that had taken place with different groups of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in. And again, he had with him the most eminent and senior Sahaba. Some advised Umar radiallahu ta'ala that he should not proceed. In fact, he should return to Madinah to Munawwara. And they advise Umar that you should not be struck with what they are struck, because the situation, it is catastrophic as it is. Now imagine you as the Amir al-Mu'mineen and your core group, you are all struck by the same plague that will spell doom for the Ummah. There will be no one left in the Ummah to guide the Ummah, because you are with the most eminent and senior Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in. That was the first opinion. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued consulting groups and groups of Sahaba. Others told him that he should place his trust in Allah and he should enter the plague-stricken region. And they said that, look, you are the leader and you should face the plague and you should deal with it with the people. However, most of them asked Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to return because the stakes were too high. And they said to Umar, نَرَى أَن تَرْجِعْ بِالنَّاسِ. Listen, Umar, most of them felt that you should go back to Medina to Munawwara. Take the group of Sahaba with whom you had traveled, all of you, return back to Medina to Munawwara, do not Do not take these people into that region. وَلَا تُقْدِمْهُمْ عَلَى هَذَا الْوَبَىٰ. Do not expose the people to this plague and to this disease that had affected the people in that region. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he then took a decision and he made an announcement and he said to the people, إِنِّي مُصْبِحٌ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرٍ فَأَصْبِحُوا عَلَيَّ. Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that, listen, I am to return. Tomorrow morning we are heading back to Madinatul Munawwarah. Whoever is with me should return back to Madinatul Munawwarah. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar really loved him. And he was the commander of the forces in that region. And he made a statement to Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What did he say to Umar? He said, Ya Umar, afirara min qadrillah. Umar, are you running away? Are you fleeing the decree of Allah? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because of the respect, the love that he had for Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Oh Abu Ubaidah, لو غيرت قالها يا أبا عبيدة. Oh Abu Ubaidah, I wish you did not make this statement. I wish it was someone else who uttered this. Because Umar radiallahu ta'ala did not want to have a difference with Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala on the matter. And what did he say? And this is the first lesson that we learn from the plague of Amwas. The first plague that had struck the Muslim Ummah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala said to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala, نَعَمْ نَفِرُّ مِنْ قَدْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ قَدْرِ اللَّهِ. Yes, Abu Ubaidah, we are fleeing from the qadr of Allah. We are fleeing from the decree of Allah. And where are we going? We are going to the decree of Allah. We are fleeing from the decree of Allah and heading to the decree of Allah. Tawakkul ala Allah, placing trust in Allah, does not mean recklessness. Does not mean that you are careless. Placing trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mean foolishness. Tawakkul and trust in Allah is al-akhd bil-asbab. What is al-akhd bil-asbab? To do your part. To exhaust the means that are available to you. Whatever means are available to you. Whatever precautions you take, you exhaust those. Put your trust in Allah with regards to the outcome. You have no control over the outcome. How many people intended Umrah? They had everything in order. Payments were made. Bags were packed. Visas were issued. All the work was done. But the outcome? That is in the decree of Allah. So you exhaust all the means that are available to you. And then the outcome, you place the trust in Allah. You do your part. Al-aqd bil-asbab. So a great lesson Umar radiallahu ta'ala teaches every one of us that we are running from the decree of Allah, but where we are heading? We are heading to the decree of Allah. So if you have a situation where you are exposed to danger and you have the option not to go ahead, proceed and become a victim of that disease, to become a victim of that crisis, you have the option, then it's foolishness on your part to go ahead and put yourself in the way of danger. Because that is the decree of Allah, but safety is also the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's the first lesson we learn from this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Once you have taken a decision, and you have made up your mind, and you have strategized, and you have planned, now you place your trust in Allah with regards to the outcome. The outcome that is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is not within your control. And as these discussions were taking place, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was not present at the time. He traveled with Umar, but he had to attend to something, some work. He was not there when the consultations and the mashwara was taking place. And then he appeared, and he heard what the discussions were all about. And then he came forward, and he addressed the people. And he says, Oh people, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِهِ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَا تَقْدَمُوا عَلَيْهِ. When you hear that there is an outbreak of a disease, there is an outbreak of a virus in a certain land, then do not travel to that land. Subhanallah. At what a moment. Because none of the Sahaba who were there heard this hadith. And the discussion was all about this very issue. Do we go into the plague-stricken region or not? And Ya Abdul Rahman bin Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he relates this hadith to them. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ بِأَرْضٍ وَأَنْتُمْ بِهَا. If there's an outbreak in a certain land and you are in the land at the time of the outbreak, فَلَا تَخْرُجُوا فِرَارًا مِنْهُ. Don't flee from it. Remain in that region. You are now a potential carrier of the virus. So do not go and expose other people to that illness and to that disease. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard this hadith, فَحَمِدَ اللَّهُ. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he left. So, what do we learn from this? The second lesson is a word that many of us are now familiar with, and that is quarantine. So what is Abdul Rahman bin Awf radiallahu ta'ala teaching us? The aspect of quarantine, the importance of quarantine. People in a certain region, they are infected and they have been exposed to the disease. Do not bring them into an area where many others are now going to be exposed to that. Quarantine, and quarantine is of two types. One is the quarantine that's imposed by the government, and one is self-imposed quarantine. If you feel at any stage that you have become a victim of the symptoms, or you are a possible carrier of the disease, then you must impose quarantine on yourself, self-isolation, so that you do not expose others to that disease and to the virus that you may be carrying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يُورِدُ مُمْرِضْ عَلَى مُسِحْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you are the carrier of an illness, don't go close to one who does not have that illness. So that is self-imposed quarantine or self-imposed isolation. Don't infect others with it if you have it. And then the Rasulullah ﷺ teaches us the importance of restricting physical contact. There were some people who came to embrace Islam, and it was protocol at that time when you had to embrace Islam, the shaking of the hand. And the Rasulullah ﷺ heard that amongst them there was a person who had a disease. Now it was protocol to shake the hand in order to pledge your allegiance to Rasulullah ﷺ. When Rasulullah ﷺ heard of this man, he sent a message to him that you may return, you may go back without adhering to the protocol, no need for shaking of hands, we have confirmed your pledge of allegiance. So another thing we learn, another lesson is restriction in terms of physical contact. Umar radiallahu ta'ala returns to Medina to Munawwara and he's concerned about Abu Ubaidah. And he sends Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala an ambiguous message. He knows that if he were to tell Abu Ubaidah that I am concerned about you, come back to Medina to Munawwara, Abu Ubaidah will never do so. So he writes to Abu Ubaidah and ambiguous message. And what does he say to him? He says, listen, O Abu Ubaidah, come to Medina. I have an important task for you. The moment my letter comes to you, leave the place of Amwas and return to Medina to Munawwara. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala, who receives the letter of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he reads the letter and he begins to laugh. And people around him ask him, why are you laughing? He says, Umar radiallahu ta'ala wants me to be safe. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala wants me to leave and be where he is. And he writes a letter to Umar. And the message bearer comes back to Medina to Munawwara with the letter. And Umar is pacing up. He's so concerned. He's pacing up and down. He's so concerned about Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. He is hoping that Abu Ubaidah will walk into Medina to Munawwara. But here the message bearer comes with a letter from Abu Ubaidah, O Umar, I cannot leave my people and my troops in Amwas. I will face whatever Allah has decreed for me, and if I have to succumb to this disease, then it is shahada. It is martyrdom in the way of Allah. And just Umar radiallahu anhu, when he receives the letter of Abu Ubaidah, he breaks down and he begins to cry, and people ask him, has Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah passed away? Umar says, no, he has not yet passed away, but it's a matter of few days. It's a matter of few days and he will be no more. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he then tries to contain the disease. So he tells Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, another great Sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that go and identify certain areas so that we can quarantine. Those who are infected, we can confine them to certain areas and to certain places so that they may remain within quarantine and they may not affect others. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's about to do that. When he gets home, his wife is affected by the same disease and she passes away. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu is also affected by that disease. He also passed away. Sahaba were just falling down. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, when he hears about this, he goes out to identify certain spots and certain locations where people may be quarantined. When he goes out, he falls down, he is affected by the illness, and he is about to pass away, and he is on his deathbed. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, just to understand who this man really is. On the occasion of Uhud, Rasulullah suffered a blow to his head. The blow was so severe and so intense that metal pieces from the helmet got stuck into the head of Rasulullah wasallam. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala was the one who used his teeth to pull out the metal pieces from the head of Rasulullah wasallam, and he lost both his teeth in the process. That was Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. What an exhibition of love. And here he is on his deathbed. He becomes a victim of that virus and he's about to die, and he gives an advice to the people around him. He says, "Inna Allah katab al-maut." Allah has prescribed death. You cannot flee from death. And he says, but the most intelligent person is who? Atwa'uhum yulassan. Brothers, it's time we turn to Allah. The masjid does not need us. We need the masjid. We need the masajid. The masajid does not need us. None of the masjids need us. Today we find that across Asia and across Europe, many masjids are not having Jummah. Kaaba does not need you and I. Madina Munawwara does not need you and I. We are in need of Makkah al-Mukarramah. We are in need of the Kaaba. We are in need of Madina al-Munawwara. So he teaches the people that the most intelligent one is the one who turns to Allah. It's a time when we turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. We turn to Allah through different acts of worship. We turn to Allah by dedicating acts of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making certain visible changes within our lives and in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has shown the world who is in control of the world. Subhanallah, the world has been turned upside down because of this plague, this virus. A germ or virus. Allah has turned the world upside down. Governments are left helpless, powerless, defenseless with all their armies, all their military might, all their wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wallahu ghalibun ala amrih." Allah is in charge of every affair. So many things have been disrupted, have suffered some of these disruptions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all afiyah and to preserve us and to keep us safe and protected against this virus that has now appeared in our country as well. Mu'adh bin Jabal, radiallahu ta'ala, another, what can you say about Mu'adh? Subhanallah. Nabi Sassim said to Mu'adh, "Wallahi inni la uhibbuk." Oh Mu'adh, I love you. He takes over after Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah passes away and he succumbs to the illness and to the disease. And he addresses the people, the new leader, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and he says to them, another lesson, he says to them, "Rahmatu Rabbikum." This disease and this illness and this plague that has affected us as believers, it is a rahmah. It is a form of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we learn from this? We learn from this that we do not stigmatize the believer, the Muslim, who is affected by this plague, who is affected by the coronavirus or any other virus. We don't stigmatize them. We don't stigmatize them. Look at Sahaba, they considered the one who was affected by the plague, who was affected by the virus, they considered him as a recipient of a special form of mercy from Allah. They congratulated him with the compassion, with the concern, taking the precautions and so on and so forth, of course. But when the person was affected by the plague and by the virus, they said, "This man is special because he is enjoying a special form of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Eventually, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he made a dua. He says, "Oh Allah, this is a rahmah from you. Allow my family to take the biggest share of this rahmah." He lost all his children. He lost both his sons. He lost his wife, and he passed away in the plague of Amwas. And then who took over, who took charge, was Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the exceedingly intelligent sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the brilliant strategist. He goes, and what does he now do? He tells the people, "Let us move to higher ground. Let us move to higher ground." He takes the entire community, all of them, they move to higher ground. He isolates them. He isolates them. Perhaps a new term we have become familiar with because of the coronavirus is social distancing. In America, they are encouraging, in fact, they are enforcing social distancing. And that is what he implemented. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala, social distancing, told people, "Remain in your homes, do not come out to public areas and do not socialize unnecessarily and go to these areas where you could possibly be exposed to the virus." And through that strategy that he had employed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then lifted the virus and lifted the plague. And he survived this plague. So the greatest lesson for us to learn from this, brothers, is that of humility. humility, that we are powerless. Allah is reminding us that we are no more than humans. We are powerless humans, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of every situation. We need to turn to Allah. Daily discharge from sadaqah with the intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows this virus to move away from us and not affect us and anyone else living in this country, and to keep everyone safeguarded and protected. A lot of dua as well, a lot of sadaqah as well, especially giving sadaqah in the form of water. Giving sadaqah in the form of water is a great means of removing these type of plagues and viruses that affect the ummah. May Allah grant us the understanding.